Welcome to CWS Christian Writing and Speaking. I'm your host, Jackie Wilson. And today's guest is an author, a speaker, and a mentor who empowers women and professional women who mitigate self-imposed barriers and prevent themselves from living their best life. She is a former vice president of a global Fortune 500 company. And she often found herself as one of the first and only African-American women to work in that space. But through this, she also found herself sabotaging herself. She also discovered in the latter part of her career that she was facing imposter syndrome and burnout. But as a result, she has committed herself to a journey of confronting these habits and behaviors because she wants other women to live a happy and healthy life outside of work. And so she is on a mission to partner with 25 organizations and 100 plus professional women to help them live their best life. And as we talk today, you will learn how her faith is intertwined with it all. Let's welcome to the CWS stage, Miss Cassandra Crawley Mayo. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I am so excited to hear your story because this is a story that we often hear, especially African-American women, talk about. And I think it's important for us to learn the solutions or the skills that we need so that we can continue to live the best life that we are called to live.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how did you get to this point that you are now on this mission to help other women lead their best life?
Well, that's a loaded question. Well, you know, as you read my bio, that I've worked in corporate America probably maybe 30 years, and being the first African-American female in my space, I was a workaholic. I worked so hard. And I think a part of that was so that I could prove myself because moving into the corporate segment, there was a human resources guy that contacted me to tell me that he wanted to offer me a general manager job at a hotel, which was the Courtyard by Marriott Hotel. And I said, oh, awesome. That's great. So what do I do next? And his first response was, wow, I just met my quota. And that comment took me aback a bit. And because I was younger, I was very naive. And I was like, meet my quota. I'm like, okay. Cool. You know, so, and I'm glad that I was naive during that point because I'm not quite sure how I would have taken that. But what I did do is I accepted that position for sure. And by the grace of God, I did a great job. And what I did was anything that I did, I always acted like it was mine. So this was my hotel. And if it was my hotel, how would I want to run this hotel? So that's kind of how it all started with me. And I continued to excel. And, you know, and I also think, too, that unfortunately, I was a perfectionist. And I say unfortunately, because there's no one perfect. But yet I was perfect. You know, so I just worked and wanted to get dot all the I's, cross all the T's. I wanted to do really a great job. I wanted to have a successful hotel. And over time, that's how I rolled, I would say. That's just how I did business. And I always said, if you can't do it right, don't do it at all. So I had gotten to a point where I realized that because I was a workaholic, I was missing out on what I'm calling living your best life. So all I did was work. I can remember sacrificing family because I had to work. You know, the hours I put in, I have never, ever worked an 8-hour job. It's always been 10 hours, 11 hours. And I'm not proud of that, but that was kind of the culture in corporate America. And it's particularly when you're in a management position. So over time, I got burned out. I was just burnt out and I was like a hamster and I couldn't stop going and I kept going, but I kept going and I kept going. And then that's when some of the self-sabotaging behavior came in. I was, and I call self-sabotaging misguided self-love to protect myself. And what I mean by that is I was hard on myself, where I was critic, And it was just that trying to unprogram myself that if I don't work these hours, I won't be good. You know, if I don't do this, then I won't represent my culture and my race well. So that's kind of how it all came about, although it didn't start out like that. Just over time, that behavior started evolving. And that's kind of where I got to where I am today.
Yeah. So what happened to turn you around?
Well, what happened is I got to a point where I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, literally. And you have to kind of get that way. And then from that point, I cried out to God. And I always said, there's a scripture that I love, that God came so that we may live life and live it more abundantly. Mm-hmm. And I used to say, but I'm not. God, I'm not living life more abundantly. What is wrong with me? What is wrong? And as a result of that, that's when I believe my transformation started coming about. And one of the other things that I did in my career, I always set goals. For example, I wanted to make this amount of money at a certain age, and I wanted to retire at the age of 55. But in order to meet those goals, I had to put actions in place to get there. Mm-hmm. And so right around 55, I don't think I could have taken any more. And then I realized that I had set that goal. I was so busy in my head. I had set a goal to retire at 55, and it took me to be burnt out to think about, oh yeah, I think I can. So let me take a look at that. And I looked at my portfolio, and that's when it was time for me to retire. And I did that. So sometimes I think that was God's way also of telling me, you prayed for this, here you have it. And maybe it's time for you to move forward. And so that's what I did.
Yeah. And you are moving forward because now you're helping other women so that they can live their best life. It's okay to have goals, but we have to have that balance. And as people often joke, even God rested. So yeah, we have to have that time with our family, our friends, so we can regenerate and be able to continue in those goals. So can you tell people about what it is that you're doing now to help women?
Absolutely. Well, I'm on a mission, and this is my vision. My vision is to empower a generation of women to become revived with a new vigor for life, equip them with a plan, with a support system, and the courage needed for them to live their best life, the courage needed to live a life that God ordained them to live. And I don't see living your best life as a cliche. We've heard that. That's been out. There's a song about it. There's just a lot. But really think about, what is it? What is it to live your best life? And I want to be able to support and empower women to do that, because I just actually wrote a blog on the power of a woman and how powerful we are. I mean, yeah. And I'm not diminishing men. This is not about bashing men. No. It's just about, first of all, if we were created to conceive and carry and deliver a child, that's a miracle in itself.
Yeah.
You know, so also we think about all the other things that we do, like we call it multitasking, but we're powerful. And I just want us to use that power, number one, to do what we want to do, but also to take care of ourselves. Yeah. And a lot of times we don't, because we're taking care of other people. Mm-hmm. We take care of our households. We manage the household, we pay the bills, we buy the groceries, we do this, we do that. Even the single women with children, even married women, you know, but it's a time for us to take a breath and recharge ourselves so that we can still live our best life with all that stuff that's going on. But do we? And I tell you another thing, Jackie, that really has struck me and I think was a pivotal moment for my vision was I was reading, and there's a hospice nurse by the name of Bonnie Ware. And Bonnie Ware she did interviews of individuals that were transitioning. And there were five major things that people regretted while they were transitioning. And two of them stuck with me. And one was they wished they were happier. And number two, they wish they were more true to themselves. And when I looked at that, I'm like, nah, no, 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 no. I'm like, no, 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 no. I want us to, when it's time for us to transition, I want us to take a deep breath and feel good about what it is that we have accomplished in this life, because we're all, that's one guarantee, we're all going, but we want to go and we want to live our life more abundantly. And that's kind of what really started my mission and my vision to help to empower women to do just that.
Yeah, I love it. So you are an author, and is what you do related to helping women as well?
Yes. Yes. The name of my book is titled, Is Your Way in Your Way? Mm. It's a self-discovery guide for women to find their true self and be their true self again, because initially we were, you know, but it's a book about us. It's love letters that I've written to women about some of the barriers that we have that have prevented us from moving forth in our life. And I kind of start off with, hey, ladies, it has a lot to do with our backstory. So we need to understand what that is and how that can attribute to our adulthood. And then I talk about dear women who have esteem battles, or dear women who compare themselves, or dear women with physical and mental challenges. You know, even there are women that have doubted whether there really was a God. So all of that is a lot of my story. And I talk about, in the beginning, there's a scripture that correlates with the content of the chapter. And then at the end of each chapter, I'll talk about, this is what I know based on the content. And then I back it up by consolidating and corresponding a scripture to the content. And what steps we take to get out of our way. Because a lot of us, and I've always been in my way, I was comparing myself. I had esteem battles. You know, I had encountered racism and inequality. I talk about that. How do we overcome that? Or maybe not overcome it, but what do we do about it? You know, how do we handle that? Because those types of things kind of can stop us from moving forward because of what people think of us, or how they'll stereotype us. And when I would say the first African-American general manager at the courtyard, I felt too, I was placed there to fail. People would look at me kind of weird, or if there was a problem in the hotel, not only did they want to call Mr. Marriott, but sometimes if they couldn't get him on the phone, so many of them said they knew him, they would want to see the general manager. And when I would walk out, just to look at me, I knew then.
I can imagine.
Yeah. So that's why I wrote that, to let women know too. We've all experienced a lot of the same things, and it's right there in that book. And I talk about it, and I talk about how we can overcome those.
Yeah. And you continue to refer to the true self. Can you give us a definition of what you mean when it comes to being your true self?
Yes. Well, when I say that, I give an example. For example, we may go to a certain church because our parents went there, or we think that's the church we should go to because it's a mega church. What about you? What is it that you want to do? You know, or how about getting in a situation and you have friends that want to go somewhere and they want to do this, and you kind of go along to get along, and you really don't want to do that? You don't really want to do that. Say you don't want to do that. You know, use your voice. You know, it's like I always say, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. I remember, you know, being in a corporate room with a bunch of white men, and I would say something and they would look at each other like, what is she talking about? You know? And then they would say the same thing I said, but they would say it differently. Mm-hmm. So that was an opportunity for me to shut up or speak up. And there's a way you speak up, you know? So I would choose my words. I always wanted to respect them regardless. I always wanted to take the high road. And so, in other words, those things that I didn't want to keep inside, I wanted to talk about it. So another thing is, build relationships in your company or relationships in your circle, because you may have an ally there and somebody that can support and help you. So nobody is here to do anything alone. So that's what I mean by be your true self. Like my true self now is to empower and bless women. You know, now we may have that self-sabotaging, like, who will want to listen to me? You know, that's a self-sabotaging behavior because mm-hmm. we feel that nobody wants to listen to me. I can't write that. They may talk about me. Mm-hmm. Who is they? You know, what about yeah. you? What is it that you want? A great example, another example, I wrote a chapter in my book for dear women who've lost a loved one. Mm-hmm. When I was writing that chapter, I had someone say, why would you write about something like that? Particularly because I wrote the book during COVID. And, you know, with the so many people passing and well, nobody wants to hear it, but I felt in my heart, that's what God wanted me to write about. Mm-hmm. And that's what I wrote about. And that's one of the main top chapters in the book about dear women who've lost a loved one. So that's what I mean. Be your authentic self, because mm-hmm. authenticity creates transformation.
Amen to that. Amen. Yes. I love it. Love it. Love it. So what is next for you?
Well, what I'm doing now is I am doing my e-commerce business online. I'm working on that now. And I'm speaking. I just left a Ubiquitous Expo conference. That's a huge conference in the Washington, D.C. area about wellness, health, body. It's a women's conference, although there were men there and they were men that also wanted my book and felt that there were some chapters in the book that could help them. So to answer your question, I'm speaking and I'm a mentor. So that's what I'm doing now.
Good. How can people connect with you?
They can connect with me. Go to CassandraCrawley.com is my website. All of my social medias is Instagram, it's Facebook, it's LinkedIn, and it's Cassandra Crawley Mayo. That's the easiest way. And my email is Mayo, like in Mayo Clinic at CassandraCrawley.com.
Very good. Now, out of all the things that you said today, what is the one thing you think people absolutely need to implement in their lives?
I believe that people should have what I call an accountability partner. You know, because they're always, I like the word goals, but when you reach a goal, I think people think I'm done. So I don't, you know, so I want us to have systems in place to get to that goal, but always want to better themselves. And I just believe that that accountability partner is very helpful so that you all can set, you know, what it is that you'd like to create. And then when you meet, like I have one and I meet on a weekly basis, and I tell you, if I said I was going to do something for the following week and do not do it, then she challenges me. Mm-hmm. And that's good. You know, so that kind of keeps me on track. And also to have a relationship with God. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about having a relationship, getting to know God just like you do your best friend.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you so much for speaking to our audience today, speaking life into our audience. I know so many people needed to hear that. So many people may be struggling with that question right now, but you have given them an answer. It's okay to be yourself. It's yes. okay to say no. Yes. It's okay to have goals, but keep in mind that you matter as well.
That's
so,
correct.
CWS audience, you have heard her, and I feel like the challenge has been issued. Who are you? Are you taking care of yourself? Are you really looking at what it is that you need, what you desire, what you want? Take that time to look at yourself and rearrange your life so that you are, in fact, living your best life. And of course, we always encourage you to live it with God. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. And until next time, beautiful people, God bless.